What's up, everybody? Welcome to the very first episode of FKN Crypto. I'll be your host, Corey Hughes. And without further ado, we're just going to jump right into it. If you want to really start your journey into understanding and engaging with Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, you really need to start at the beginning. And there's only one place for that to begin, and that is with the Bitcoin white paper. The Bitcoin white paper is titled Bitcoin, a peer-to-peer electronic cash system by Satoshi Nakamoto. It was released on Halloween in 2008. Abstract. A purely peer-to-peer version of electronic cash would allow online payments to be sent directly from one party to another without going through a financial institution. Digital signatures provide part of the solution, but the main benefits are lost if a trusted third party is still required to prevent double spending. We propose a solution to the double spending problem using a peer-to-peer network. The network timestamps transactions by hashing them onto an ongoing chain of hash-based proof of work, forming a record that cannot be changed without redoing the proof of work. The longest chain not only serves as proof of the sequence of events witnessed, but proof that it came from the largest pool of CPU power. As a long majority of CPU power is controlled by nodes that are not cooperating to attack the network, they'll generate the longest chain and outpace attackers. The network itself requires minimal structure. Messages are broadcast on a best effort basis, and nodes can leave and rejoin the network at will, accepting the longest proof of work chain as proof of what happened while they were gone. So let me just unpack that a little bit. That is basically Bitcoin in a nutshell. And so to really get past some of the more technical jargon here, I'll just go ahead and I'll explain what exactly Satoshi is saying. Satoshi is saying that he has been able to put together a system of transactions that go directly from peer to peer, meaning from me to you, and not needing a third party. Every financial transaction you've ever participated in your life has required a third party, whether it's the U.S. government printing dollars or whether it's a bank's debit card that is acting as the third party money holder. The entire purpose of Bitcoin is to eliminate the third party and have transactions that are transmitted from one person directly to another person with no need for that external third party. Introduction. Commerce on the internet has come to rely almost exclusively on financial institutions serving as trusted third parties to process electronic payments. While the system works well enough for most transactions, it still suffers from the inherent weakness of the trust-based model. Completely non-reversible transactions are not really possible, since financial institutions cannot avoid mediating disputes. The cost of mediation increases transaction costs, limiting the minimum practical transaction size and cutting off the possibility for small casual transactions, and there is a broader cost in the loss of ability to make non-reversible payments for non-reversible services. With the possibility of reversal, the need for trust spreads. Merchants must be wary of their customers, hassling them for more information than they would otherwise need. A certain percentage of fraud is accepted as unavoidable. These costs and payment uncertainties can be avoided in person by using physical currency, but no mechanism exists to make payments over a communications channel without a trusted party. What is needed is an electronic payment system based on cryptographic proof instead of trust, allowing any two willing parties to transact directly with each other without the need for a trusted third party. Transactions that are computationally impractical to reverse would protect sellers from fraud, and routine escrow mechanisms could easily be implemented to protect buyers. In this paper, we propose a solution to the double spending problem using peer-to-peer distributed timestamp server to generate computational proof of the chronological order of transactions. The system is secure as long as honest nodes collectively control more CPU power than any cooperating group of attacker nodes. So, what Satoshi is saying here is that these systems that we use online via what he calls communication channels are not efficient. There's a third party that is required to handle the transaction to mediate any fraud that might go on. And with such systems, there is a built-in inefficiency that Satoshi is proposing to solve. Transactions. We define an electronic coin as a chain of digital signatures. Each owner transfers the coin to the next by digitally signing a hash of the previous transaction and the public key of the next owner and adding these to the end of the coin. A payee can verify these signatures to verify the chain of ownership. So when you send a Bitcoin transaction, what you're actually doing is when you send it off to a Bitcoin address, when you send that transaction, it includes a hash, which is an electronic signature that verifies the previous transaction, thus verifying the legitimacy of the transaction and the coin that's being sent. The problem, of course, is the payee can't verify that one of the owners did not double spend the coin. A common solution is to introduce a trusted central authority or mint that checks every transaction for double spending. After each transaction, the coin must be returned to the mint to issue a new coin, and only coins issued directly from the mint are trusted not to be double spent. The problem with this solution is that the fate of the entire money system depends on the company running the mint, with every transaction having to go through them just like a bank. So what Satoshi's saying here is that even if you have some form of digital third party that has to be maintained by a company, then that becomes the weakness of the system. The only way to eliminate the weakness is to eliminate that third party from the system. We need a way for the payee to know that the previous owners did not sign any earlier transactions. For our purposes, the earliest transaction is the one that counts, so we don't care about later attempts to double spend. The only way to confirm the absence of a transaction is to be aware of all transactions. In the mint-based model, the mint was aware of all transactions and decided which arrived first. To accomplish this without a trusted party, transactions must be publicly announced. And we need a system for participants to agree on a single history of the order in which they were received. The payee needs proof that at the time of each transaction, the majority of nodes agreed that it was the first received. Satoshi is saying that in order to overcome the problem of double spend, meaning if you have a $5 bill in your pocket and you go to the store and you spend it, you can't spend that same $5 somewhere else. In a personal transaction, the currency has been handed over, thus there will be no double spend. That is not always the case with digital transactions as people attempt to double spend the same money. This becomes a big problem with altcoins and the ability for hackers to roll back a chain and therefore induce a double spend. The way that Satoshi found around the double spend problem is for every transaction to be broadcast publicly. Therefore, there is a public record and timestamp on when every transaction is broadcast, and it's not held secret by some third party who can arbitrarily rearrange the order of transactions. Timestamp server. The solution we propose begins with a timestamp server. A timestamp server works by taking hash of a block of items to be timestamped and widely publishing the hash, such as in a newspaper or Usenet post. The timestamp proves that the data must have existed at the time, obviously, in order to get the hash. Each timestamp includes the previous timestamp in its hash, forming a chain, with each additional timestamp reinforcing the ones before it. So that is the quintessential definition of what a blockchain is. It is a series of transactions that are grouped into blocks and timestamped in order to ensure that no double spending occurs. Proof of work. To implement a distributed timestamp server on a peer-to-peer basis, we will need to use a proof of work system similar to Adam Back's Hashcash. Rather than newspaper or Usenet posts, the proof of work involves scanning for a value that when hashed, such as with SHA-256, the hash begins with a number of 0 bits. The average work required is exponential in the number of 0 bits required and can be verified by executing a single hash. For our timestamp network, we implement the proof of work by incrementing a nonce in the block until a value is found that gives the block's hash the required 0 bits. Once the CPU effort has been expended to make it satisfy its proof of work, the block cannot be changed without redoing the work. as later blocks are chained after it, the work to change the block would include redoing all the blocks after it. So in describing proof of work, many people like to describe it as the miners and their ASICs are, they're doing very complicated equations in order to win the block reward and thus be rewarded with Bitcoins, but that's not exactly how it works. So here, what it's explaining is that the proof of work system requires what they call a nonce. And so let's look at it this way. I'm going to oversimplify this. You can think of the nonce kind of like the big jar of gumballs at the candy store that you need to guess in order to win the prize. So you walk in the candy store, you see the huge jar of gumballs, and you say, I think that's got 700 gumballs in it. Somebody else says, I think it has 650 gumballs in it. Whoever gets the exact number of gumballs in the jar is the one who wins the prize. That is how proof of work kind of works on an overly simplified basis. Fundamentally, the nonce is a has a series of zeros before the actual nonce itself. And so each block that will be created has this nonce, which was created in its framework. The miners then have to guess the nonce. That's what it is. They're guessing the nonce, and whichever miner actually guesses the nonce is the one who gets the block reward. The proof of work also solves the problem of determining representation in majority decision making. If the majority were based on one IP address, one vote, it could be subverted by anyone able to allocate many IPs. Proof of work is essentially one CPU, one vote. The majority decision is represented by the longest chain, which has the greatest proof of work effort invested in it. If a majority of CPU power is controlled by honest nodes, the honest chain will grow the fastest and outpace any competition chains. To modify a pass block, an attacker would have to redo the proof of work of the block and all blocks after it and then catch up with and surpass the work of the honest nodes. We will show later that the probability of a slower attacker catching up diminishes exponentially as subsequent blocks are added. To compensate for increasing hardware speed and varying interest in running nodes over time, the proof of work difficulty is determined by a moving average targeting an average number of blocks per hour. If they're generated too fast, the difficulty increases. So Satoshi included in the Bitcoin framework this proof of work mechanism that is ultimately controlled by a level of difficulty. Difficulty is variable. The purpose of the difficulty is to keep the block creation and block reward at approximately 10 minutes. So if blocks are created too quickly, the difficulty will go up in order to get back to that 10-minute kind of homeostasis. If more or less miners come onto or leave the network, the difficulty will adjust accordingly. Network. The steps to run the network are as follows. 1. New transactions are broadcast to all nodes. 2. Each node collects new transactions into a block. 3. Each node works on finding a difficult proof of work for its block. 4. When a node finds a proof of work, it broadcasts the block to all nodes. 5. Nodes accept the block only if all transactions in it are valid and not already spent. 6. Nodes express their acceptance of the block by working on creating the next block in the chain using the hash of the accepted block as the previous hash. Nodes always consider the longest chain to be the correct one and will keep working on extending it. If two nodes broadcast different versions of the next block simultaneously, some nodes may receive one or the other first. In that case, they work on the first one they received, but save the other branch in case it becomes longer. The tie will be broken when the next proof of work is found and one branch becomes longer. The nodes that were working on the other branch will then switch to the longer one. This is where the network logistics start to become a little complicated for the average user in understanding the block creation process and what determines whether or not a transaction is valid or a double spend. This is one avenue of attack that hackers attempt to use to roll back a network and basically hack a chain, which has happened many times in the history of cryptocurrencies. The new transaction broadcasts do not necessarily need to reach all nodes. As long as they reach many nodes, they will get into a block before long. Block broadcasts are also tolerant of dropped messages. If a node does not receive a block, it will request it when it receives the next block and realizes it missed one. So when you first send a Bitcoin transaction, it notifies the entire network that this is going to be included in a coming block. The transaction will then be held in what's called the mempool. And the mempool is basically all of the transactions that are waiting to be included. Incentive. By convention, the first transaction in a block is a special transaction that starts a new coin owned by the creator of the block. This adds an incentive for nodes to support the network and provides a way to initially distribute coins into circulation since there is no central authority to issue them. The steady addition of a constant amount of new coins is analogous to gold miners expending resources to add gold to circulation. In our case, it is CPU time and electricity that is expended. The incentive can also be funded with transaction fees. If the output value of a transaction is less than its input value, the difference is a transaction fee that is added to the incentive value of the block containing the transaction. Once a predetermined number of coins have entered circulation, the incentive can transition entirely to transaction fees and be completely inflation-free. The incentive may help encourage nodes to stay honest. If a greedy attacker is able to assemble more CPU power than all honest nodes, he would have to choose between using it to defraud people by stealing back his payments or using it to generate new coins. He ought to find it more profitable to play by the rules, such rules that favor him with more new coins than everyone else combined, than to undermine the system and the validity of his own wealth. Bitcoin's incentive system, based on a block reward, is really one of the most revolutionary aspects of the technology. In the beginning, when a miner mined a block, they would receive a reward of 50 bitcoins. That reward gets cut in half every 4 years. By cutting the block reward in half every 4 years, what you do is you basically guarantee that the currency will remain a deflationary currency instead of an inflationary currency. Simplified payment verification. It is possible to verify payments without running a full network node. A user only need to keep a copy of the block headers of the longest proof of work chain, which he can get by querying network nodes until he's convinced he has the longest chain and obtain the Merkle branch linking the transaction to the block it's timestamped in. He can't check the transaction for himself, but by linking it to a place in the chain, he can see that a network node has accepted it and blocks added after it further confirm the network has accepted it. As such, the verification is reliable as long as honest nodes control the network, but is more vulnerable if the network is overpowered by an attacker. While network nodes can verify transactions for themselves, the simplified method can be fooled by an attacker's fabricated transactions for as long as the attacker can continue to overpower the network. One strategy to protect against this would be to accept alerts from network nodes when they detect an invalid block, prompting the user software to download the full block and alerted transactions to confirm the inconsistency. Businesses that receive frequent payments will probably still want to run their own nodes for more independent security and quicker verification. Privacy. The traditional banking model achieves a level of privacy by limiting access to information to the parties involved and the trusted third party. The necessity to announce all transactions publicly precludes this method, but privacy can still be maintained by breaking the flow of information in another place, by keeping public keys anonymous. The public key that someone is sending an amount to someone else, but without information linking the transaction to anyone. This is similar to the level of information released by the stock exchange, where the time and size of individual trades, the tape, is made public, but without telling who the parties are. As an additional firewall, a new key pair should be used for each transaction to keep them from being linked to a common owner. Some linking will still be unavoidable with multi-input transactions, which necessarily reveal their inputs were owned by the same owner. The risk is that if the owner of a key is revealed, linking could reveal other transactions that belong to the same owner. So Some people will say that this is a strength, and some people will say that this is a weakness. But Bitcoin is not truly anonymous. It is more pseudonymous. Your Bitcoin wallet address is always public, and thus all transactions are always verifiable by anyone who wants to explore your public addresses. Conclusion. We have proposed a system for electronic transactions without relying on trust. We started with the usual framework of coins made from the digital signatures, which provides strong control of ownership, but it is incomplete without a way to prevent double spending. To solve this, we proposed a peer-to-peer network using proof of work to record a public history of transactions that quickly becomes computationally impractical for an attacker to change if honest nodes control a majority of CPU power. The network is robust in its unstructured simplicity. Nodes work all at once with little coordination. They do not need to be identified since messages are not routed to any particular place and only need to be delivered on a best effort basis. Nodes can leave and rejoin a network at will, accepting the proof of work chain as proof of what happened while they were gone. They vote with their CPU power, expressing their acceptance of the valid blocks by working on extending them and rejecting invalid blocks by refusing to work on them. Any needed rules and incentives can be enforced with this consensus mechanism. And that, ladies and gentlemen, was the Bitcoin white paper.